I'm Bruce Reynolds from Reynolds Communication. The following podcast is an initiative of the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries Dairy Industry Group. Today I'm talking with Steve Little, who is the Grain to Milk Program Leader for Dairy Australia, and we're discussing feeding cows after the floods. Well, Steve, why is it important to develop priorities after wet conditions?
There's lots and lots of things to deal with immediately after flood, so it's really important to make sure that you're focused on the most important things that are going to get you through that recovery phase as quickly and smoothly as possible.
Now, we're looking at feeding cows, so why is it important to develop priorities in feeding your animals?
There's probably three things we need to think about. We need to think about what feed we're going to purchase and have on hand to use over the coming weeks and months. We've got to make sure that we keep the cows as close to their normal milk production levels as we possibly can, and we need to make sure that we're feeding out that feed in a way that we minimise the wastage of that feed.
Is it important that a producer develops a checklist with those three broad headings?
Yeah, look, I think it's really, really important to thought through and plan those three aspects of feeding, you know, fairly carefully. I think that means if you've got that well under control, it means you can move on to other things that also need a bit of attention.
Well, let's look at each of those individual areas, and firstly, buying feed on quality and value. And in your checklist, what are some of the things that you should be looking at under that category?
Probably the immediate thing to do is just work out just what your monthly feed requirements are going to be after the flood, and it may well be that there won't be any pasture available for some time. So need to work out a feed budget, need to do it on pretty realistic assumptions in terms of what the cows are going to need, what sort of wastage rates you're going to incur when you feed out hay or silage or other feed. We've also got to remember to include the requirements for the dry cows and the young stock as well. So that's the first thing. I think having done that, we need to make sure that we're focused on buying feed on its nutritional value rather than just its price tag. So that's a pretty important part of it as well, to make sure that we're buying good quality stuff. As always, as well as that, we need to make sure that we've got some clear and definite purchase arrangements with whoever we're buying the feed from. So it's always important to confirm verbal arrangements with feed suppliers in writing. Make sure that there's absolutely no misunderstanding in terms of price, the quality or when and how it's going to be supplied to the farm.
So once you've secured your feed stocks and you've got the right quality and value, what should you be thinking about in getting the diet right with your animals?
The first decision that really has to be made is what level of milk production are you going to feed for? That's really important. I guess the challenge is to generate enough income to allow you to dilute the maintenance feed costs and the other relatively fixed costs that you have on the farm and achieve an acceptable margin over feed cost to cover all the other expenses. So we need to pitch the diet so that it will achieve that target milk production level, and it's got to be obviously nutritionally balanced, and it's got to be cost effective, and it's got to be palatable as well. The cows are going to be willing to eat it. So that's when we come down to having to calculate their energy, protein requirements, how much fibre they're going to need, and all the other nutritional aspects of a balanced diet.
So you've worked out the diet, getting the right diet. What about converting feed into milk and not waste, so making sure that the animals are producing quality product at the end?
Grains to Milk has been talking about this for some time now, the importance, if you're affected by floods or operating normally, the importance of knowing your herd's feed conversion efficiency. In other words, how many litres of milk is your herd producing per kilogram of feed dry matter? So, you know, we've set some targets for that. We need to sort of think about some of the reasons why cows may not be achieving a good level for feed conversion efficiency. Now, it may well be that there's too much feed being wasted during feed out, and we know that if we feed hay or silage on the ground or in hay rings, you know, wastage rates can be relatively high. A recent dirt study showed that it can be as high as 30% or even higher. When it comes to putting the feed in front of the cows, we've got to do it in such a way that we can minimise wastage. And that comes down to the infrastructure that we're using and the way the feed's put out, as well as the palatability of the feed itself. Farmers may well already have permanent or a semi-permanent feed pad or feed out area, and that's going to become really important during the flood recovery phase to manage that as well as possible. And keep an eye on feed conversion efficiency. Work out what that figure is. Is it 1.2 litres per kilo or is it 1.1, 1.0? Just keep an eye on that and make sure that the feed conversion efficiency figure makes sense. And if it doesn't, it's probably well worthwhile getting someone, a nutrition advisor, to help you.
Now, for those producers that have had damage to their current feed stocks, what should you be thinking about?
One of the decisions that farmers might have to make if their hay or silage reserves have been inundated by water, they're going to have to think through whether they retain that feed it to their milkers or feed it to other stock, whether they throw it away. It's always a difficult one to decide, but the last thing that we want is for cows to be consuming mouldy feed, because with the mould comes the risk of mycotoxins, which can have serious effects on the cow's performance and their health. That's sort of something you're going to have to take through on a case-by-case basis. But I know in the Northern Victorian floods earlier in the year, there were farmers that went to great lengths to try and salvage bales of hay, for example, where the top half of the bale was dry and the bottom inundated. Matter of just how much effort you feel you should make there. One of the other risks too, Bruce, is probably worth mentioning, is the risk of ruminal upsets or ruminal acidosis. Probably the easiest way to get the megajoules of energy into cows after a flood is by feeding grain in the dairy. You know, we've got a reasonably good energy level in the grain. Our wastage rates are minimal when we feed in the bale as opposed to feeding outside. But we do need to be careful that we keep the ruminants and the cows happy. So we've got to make sure that the milker's diet has got a good, effective fibre level, that we're using some buffers and other rumen modifiers, and making sure that, you know, we're not making sudden changes to the diet, which might tip the cows to an acidotic situation. So really important, again, to sort of manage the diet carefully, make sure the fibre levels are there, and keep doing a few quick checks just to see how your cows are travelling with the diet, and that includes looking at their milk fat and their protein tests, their gut fill level, how well they're chewing their cud, what their manure looks like. So there's a number of things that you can sort of be checking day by day to just see how the cows are travelling.
Steve Little, thanks for discussing feeding cows after the floods.
No worries, Bruce.
For this podcast and more podcasts, fact sheets and videos, I encourage you to visit the New South Wales DPI website and click on Dairy.